Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. They know my
mind to the youth. Cause it's not like the future depends on it. But there's animals in the zoo. Cause the chimpanzee, them a make big money. This is how the media pillages. On TV, the picture is. Savages and villages. And the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids. Stereotyping the image of the images. And this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand. All of a sudden you are there in Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzis I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all that will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like it'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clown. A spiritual DNA that lives in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Shabali. Patience. What the old folks told me. Can you give a dat? Discovering a world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes. No realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have started off. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Galas teach in universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows? Even though you drive cars, can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. Be patient for now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it. No matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper, gotta have land, gotta have acres, so I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers, in a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers, you superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day cuz, like somebody got a doll of me, sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it, sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit, I'm fearless, don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Damn. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Shabali. Patience. Yeah.
Only God can judge me.
That right? Only God, man.
Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Really?
But how about we turn to the facts? Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own homie. Sister bust a dirty back, will I succeed? Cannabinoid from the weed, and hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is is on Bahamas. Did a crime to fight for what is mine. Everybody's gone, tell me what's the Eastern trying. I've been trapped at birth, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the earth. And they say it's the white man I fear, but it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. And all my memories of seeing brothers bleed, and everybody grieve, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix, cause the media's full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, baby.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
I hear the doctor standing over me screaming, I can make it. Got a body full of bullet holes laying here, naked still. I can't breathe, something's evil in my IV. Cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up strangling, dangling my bed sheets. I call a nurse cause it hurts to reminisce. How did it come to this? I wish they didn't miss. Somebody help me, tell me where to go from here. Cause even thugs cry, but through the Lord's care. Trying to remember, but it hurts. And I fake is a lifetime I hate. Dear mama, can you save me? And fuck peace, cause the street got our baby. We gotta eat, no more hesitation. Each and every black male strap. And they wonder why we suicidal running round strap. Mr. Police, please try to see it. It's a million motherfuckers stressing just like me. Only God can judge.
Does not kill me, can only make me stronger.
For real.
I don't see why everybody feels as though they gotta tell me how to live my life.
You know?
Let me live, baby. Let me live.
Pac, I feel ya. Keep serving it on the realer. For instance, say a player hating monsters out to kill ya. Would you be wrong for bucking a nigga to the pavement? He gon' get me first if I don't get him. Who start praying? Ain't no such thing as self-defense in the court of law. So judges, when we get to where we're going, we're in the cross. That's real. Got him, missed him, crept the fuck up on him. Sold a half a million tips. Now everybody want him. After talking behind my back like a bitch would. Telling them niggas you could say the punk, I wish you would. To be the same motherfuckers in your face. That'll rest up in your place to get your safe. Knowing you on that paper chase. Grass, glass, big screen and leather couch. My new shit is so pretty, I already sold the Kia out. Bitch, remember Tupac and Forte? Them same two brothers, dodging rulers, representing the bay. Pop when you was locked down, that's when I'll be around. Start climbing up the truck, so sick, but they tried to clown. That's why they ride the bandwagon, still be dragging, selling lies. Don't think I don't see you haters, I know y'all in the sky.
Guess you figure you know me cause I'm a thug. That love to hit the late night club, drinks and buzz. Been living lavish like a player all day. Now I'm about to floss some ball players, stick with Rose. Only God can judge me.
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 That's real.
Only God can judge me.
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 Only God, man.
That's
real. Fuck everybody else.
Man, look here, man.
My only fear of death is coming back to this bitch reincarnated. That's what a homie meant to. We about.
We've got to deal with the culture of the whole African Nile Valley, brothers and sisters. So let's first start with Tassedi. Let's deal with this area of Wadi Halfa, of Qistul. And through our own research, taking groups back. Here I'm taking groups back to the Nubian Museum to witness what? They're not going to show you this on National Geographic. They're not going to show you this on the Discovery Channel. Even though National Geographic said every time we kick over a rock in Africa, we have to rewrite the textbooks. Well, they need to rewrite the textbooks on this. It's right there in the Nubian or Ta-Nehisian Museum. And what? Here, validating what? Whitey Halfa going back 65,000 to 55,000 years ago. Let's go to Kalabolo in Ta-Nehisi. There we equally can see stones that our ancestors carved right there. I got to lay a foundation of these early systems, brothers and sisters, to show at one time this was not always a desert. You see elephants and giraffes as well as the Sutan king, but the Sutan holding the Sekhem. Here again, Taseti was a pre-dynastic king of Terra Netta holding the Sekhem. Again, it represents his divine authority, but this goes back to Taseti over 26,000 years ago, even though this glyph may be about 5,000 years ago. Again, we see they are the ones that gave us the first stellar calendar. So astrology and ancient cosmological science and astronomy goes back to African people's genius thousands of years ago. Our ancestors, from their empirical observation of the universe, we mapped out the stars. We were not just standing around. Europeans, when are you going to come and teach us about astronomy? Asians, when are you going to come teach us about astrology? This was already known by African people thousands of years ago. Our ancestors called it the early African cosmic clock, where Neter stayed in each constellation for 2,155 years, making up what is known as the great year of 26,000 years. That means we had to observe it at least twice, brothers and sisters, over 50,000 years ago. Somebody knows something about an African ancestral genius thousands of years ago that they don't want you to know about yourself. They're still trying to write out Africa. For instance, Wallace Budge, the wisdom of the Egyptians, or Kemetic Africans, astronomy. Until the Egyptians came under the influence of Asiatics, okay, nations and the Greeks, their notion of astronomy were very limited, and their stargazers were unable to define the length of the year correctly. Here our ancestors had the three seasons in 4 months apiece, like Akkad, Pert, and Shamu. They gave us the earliest calendar. This is long before the Greeks. Let's go to Herodotus that Robert Babal even talks about, 485 to 425 BC. It is in Heliopolis that the most learned of the Egyptians or Kemetic Africans are to be found. All agree in saying that Egyptians, by their study of astronomy, discovered the solar year and were the first to divide it into 12 parts. And in my opinion, their method of calculation is better than the Greeks. The name of nearly all the gods came to Greece from Kemet. So this is Herodotus, a Greek saying that they got this astronomy from the Kemetic Africans. Black Spark, White Fire, Dion Chrysonomos points out in 30 AD, also point out the Egyptian priests mocked the Greeks because on many things they have never known the truth. What seems to be clear is that the Egyptian priests were regarded by the Greeks as the keepers of great astronomical wisdom. In the days of the 4th dynasty, the primitive Greeks would have appeared as barbarians and other Europeans as no more than cavemen by the sophisticated and technologically advanced Egyptians who built the pyramids. So here, that's why brothers still want to be a Greek, brand themselves, because we think that's the beginning. Now recently, this European named Robert Wuval recently wrote his book. He gave a lot of credit to Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, peace be upon him. But although he didn't acknowledge some of the other warrior scholars like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark, he's giving a black genesis, a prehistoric origin of ancient Egypt. But brothers and sisters, let's understand that although he speaks of Neptuplia, the southwestern part of Egypt, he says this is the origin of black Egypt. That's the front room of the house. That's not the whole house, brothers and sisters. So even though Robert Wuval and some of us are talking about Robert Wuval's Neptuplia, but the point is it goes much further back than that. He's talking about these astronomical stones right here in the south part of Egypt, were ceremonial stones where our ancestors connected to celestial, and terrestrial events. From that spiritual connection, our ancestors knew this from the dawn of time. Let's go back to Ethiopia. We're deep in the house now. We're not in the front room. This is the mother of Egypt. We were just there and here in the area called Tia. Here you see ceremonial stones, brothers and sisters, Ethiopian heritage site. Right here, this is our Kemet new tour. Hotep, brothers and sisters, again, we've come back to the dawn of time, dealt with the historical sites of Ethiopia, of Lalibela and Gunder and Aksum and all the historical sites. Now we're down in the southern part, and we just saw the anthropological digs from the dawn of time. This is an extremely important site. What you see right here is Tia. This is the Ethiopian heritage site. It's extremely important because it's a prehistory, as they call it, a prehistory time period of stelas, stones that you're going to see in a few minutes. But UNESCO preserve this as a World Heritage Site. So now they blocked that area off because of these stones here. It goes back to an astronomical time period when our ancestors were connecting terrestrial and celestial events, meaning that the agriculture goes back to the Nile Valley. It's been documented over 18,000 years. These stellar stones could have been around the ceremonies, documenting where stars were at various periods of time, knowing where to plant the seed, as well as other spiritual ideas. But this is where it all starts from. Now, there's a man by the name of Robert Bouval who just wrote a book called The Black Genesis. How many of you are familiar with that? Okay, Black Genesis, and he dealt with the southwestern part of Egypt of an area called Neptopleia. Now, here he's talking about these stellar stones there around ceremonial astronomical events. But that, as I said before, Egypt did not start with Egypt. Where did the culture come from? It came from inner Africa. But Europeans still tell us these things, or tell us that, okay, now Robert Bouval has come to the point to say, yeah, it did begin in Egypt. There was a Black Genesis here. These early stones started here. But that's not the beginning. That's still not the beginning. We saw from the presentation the culture came from inner Africa. Now, one of the things that Robert Bouval used was one of the stones was Het Heru. And here he showed that here was the early beginning of the Neterte period or the goddess, the matrilineal system coming from the spirit of the woman. But you're going to see that same stone right over here, and here we are way down in Ethiopia. But nobody's talking about way down here. So now they see the proof. Yes, we see things in Egypt, but it came from inner Africa.
Understanding
it did not come from
the very origin and the nature and the coding of the white man, and understanding that his very existence and world control and domination and the maintaining of white supremacy is based on the murder of the black man and woman, then it is no wonder that police brutality is to the level that it is in black communities all over America. The cold-blooded murder of Brother Aswan there in Brooklyn just a few weeks, months ago, shot 20 times, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 times. Brother Jerry Lee Amy in Los Angeles shot 39 times. Over 6 feet tall, shot even on his shoulders, which meant, did the cracker get on a stepladder and shoot him on his shoulders, or did they shoot him and shoot him and shoot him down to the ground and keep shooting him even after he was on the ground? You don't have to shoot a damn elephant 39 times to kill an elephant. And Jerry Lee Amy, as always, as all of us are, was the wrong man. Cracker was looking for a robbery suspect. Jerry Lee Amy is playing with his daughter in the front yard, and as they are running across the front yard, the cracker assumes that he is a so-called fugitive of Just Us, and so they shoot him down on his lawn in front of his baby girl. Brother Philip Pinnell would still be alive in New Jersey. Brother Lewis there in St. Petersburg, Florida, would still be alive as the crackers rolled up on him and claimed that his car lunged forward, that one was on the side and the other one, what kind of fool this is, I don't know. The other cop was supposedly in front of the car looking through the front of the windshield. Common sense would tell a damn fool, you don't have to be a policeman, that you don't stand in front of the vehicle. But they claimed the vehicle lunged forward. They shot him. The policeman was never hit by the vehicle. The vehicle never crashed anywhere into the pole or anywhere on the side. Brother Lewis would still be alive if we understood this dynamic better than we understand it. Our brother in Johnny Gamage in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was there in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, and the crackers said that he stepped on his brakes and his brake lights came on too many times. His brake lights were blinking too many times. And so they snatched him from the vehicle, and all of them jumped on top of him and beat him and choked him and choked him until they choked in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Brother Johnny Gamage to death. Sister Eula May Love and the many that are from the New York area, from the New Jersey area, from Chicago, from Los Angeles, from the South, and throughout. All of them, brothers and sisters, victims of police brutality, and we don't even have the time to name all of us killed at the hands of brute beast police. It was former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall who spoke at Howard University, sometimes called Howard University. And as he spoke there, he said that the Ku Klux Klan, that the white paramilitary right-wing organizations, the Nazis and others, that the Klan no longer just wears white hoods and white sheets, but now the Klan wears blue uniforms, carries a badge or a shield and a legal, quote-unquote, weapon, that the Klan now wears black robes and sits on the judge's bench to rule from the courtroom. And so Thurgood Marshall, having been a Supreme Court justice, too afraid to make bold stands himself, but in a sense like the spook who sat by the door, on his way out, he could begin to give up a little bit of the truth. And right here in New York, we have Judge Bruce Wright. And as we read his book, Black Robes, White Justice, in Black Robes, White Justice, Judge Bruce Wright gives us the inside track on the criminal justice system of the white man. And never call it a criminal justice system unless you put the adjective in front of it, that it is a criminal justice system. In fact, it is the criminal justice system. It is no wonder that there is police brutality, because the white man is a criminal. He's the number one criminal on the face of the planet Earth. Criminals established the criminal justice system of white America. Every law in the penal code system of the state of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, California, Georgia, no matter where, and the penal code for the federal government of the United States of America, every law in the penal code book, every law was broken by the white man in order to establish that state, to establish this state, and to establish what he calls the United States of America. Every law. Some of you saw us on Harold Hope. That's what he is. That's a little Ebonics. I can't call him Harold Hoare. Ebonically speaking, he's Harold Hope. You saw us with Dr.
you, I fight myself, I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror. mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bump the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
be.
Believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
None of them couldn't mess with you. A recording studio gangster. You just as bad as you can be. You gon' blow, put your gat in the nigga's mouth and blow the nigga's brains out. I'll stomp that hoe. I'll kick that bitch. White man show up, you can hear a rat pee on cut. Nigga ain't ready to fight. Nigga ain't ready to fight. I say we must arm the masses. Most of y'all got guns anyway. You shoot them for the 4th of July. Damn day that ain't even your Independence Day. Yes, you do. You shoot them on New Year's and New Year ain't even in yet. You just got them, they're just toys. Or you'll go get them on your wife. Draw the gun on her because she burnt the beans for the 4th time. She'll just go order some beans. Or she'll draw the pistol on you because the phone rang at 2 in the morning and you stayed on too long talking too low. three brothers so bad. I'm Crip. Two or three brothers so bad, I'm blood. They'll go off into territory of their rival brother gang and face bumper jacks, face chains, baseball bats, pipes, nines, huh? AKs, face everything in a fratricidal war with your kith and kin, your flesh and blood, your brother, your sister. The goddamn white man come, you throw the guns under the damn car, throw the damn guns in the bushes, he make 50 niggas spread up against the wall, one peck of wood. All right, get up against the wall, buddy. Don't move, guy. Here's Will Kill Johnson, huh? Here's Bloody Blood, all them crazy names you got. Here's Shotgun. All of them spread up against the wall.
Brown, you've been putting this information down for many decades, and you've definitely helped with the expansion of my consciousness and the knowledge base of my generation. Same with Baba Milton, the information that you guys are putting down and that you are consistent with and consistently giving us information for, as we say, emancipation for our minds. So, you know, we give thanks just for the energy. We always have to give our elders flowers while they're still living so they can smell them.
Thank you.
Even when you're still out here doing the work as just as you were when you were young soldiers, now you're older wisdom soldiers, and it's even more prevalent. Because eldership is needed within our community.
Thank you. In
regards to Haiti, I think it is imperative to deal with what's going on currently. We're discussing the recent assassination of the president, and I know some people have their negative aspects and positive aspects about the work the president was doing, whether he was for the people or not. But the bottom line and key here is the three nations that refuse this particular inoculation or infusion in regards to COVID, all three of those presidents were assassinated.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. I forgot the two African countries, but all the presidents that refused, declined the mass vaccination process in their country, all three have been assassinated. So we're looking at a specific agenda, because Haiti, regardless of what they say in regards to the economic prowess of it, still had the lowest COVID cases. And, you know, they tested just as much as anybody per capita. So they realized that there are some holistic things they could do or a particular strand that not got to that demographic as of yet. And they weren't having the same type of sanctions and problems that everybody else was having with that particular genetically modified virus. And when the powers that quote unquote be approached them with the medical and pharmaceutical armies stating that, hey, we can get so many people vaccinated, though certain presidents refuse. All three of those presidents have been assassinated. Let's call it what it is. These are covert operations put together by a military people to get a particular person in power out so they can put somebody in who they're able to control. So I do have a question for Baba Milton. In regards to
power family, black love, all our listeners listening from around the world, you're right black with us like you never left. Here on day 505, new Black Panther Party radio of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. You are live here every night with your host, Brother Katib Sadiq, National Chief of Staff. We are so humbled to be bringing this broadcast to you past the 500-day mark. We have moved past the 365-day mark. Every night, you will tune in to hear to these Truth Hours family. It is our intention to rip the Europhilia out of the hearts and minds of the masses of our people to inspire you to stand up for your freedom and liberation let everybody know that the new Black Panther Party is live here tonight. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. 718-664-6398. Press the number one. We have an information-packed broadcast here tonight as we will discuss our topic tonight, which is psychological warfare and the American police state. Psychological warfare in the American police state, the nation of the Ku Klux Klan, as you heard in the introduction of this broadcast, as we opened up, as we always do, and we give thanks to our great, mighty warrior ancestors who have come before us. We are so thankful to be the original people of the earth. We are so thankful to be those who are a representation of the almighty, wise God creator. We understand the balance of Maat. We understand the male, the father principle, the strong, the endearing and brave warrior principle. But we also understand and we use the balance of the female, the balance of the mother energy, the balance of the womb, the deep, the galaxy. We are a spiritual people. We are a cultural people. We believe in the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. It is our collective ideology that our culture is the nature of the people. Culture is attached to the land. So when we say culture, we're just talking about the land. We got to get up on some land. We have to take the land back from those who have stolen it from right up under our feet, family. We know that culture defines the land. Culture is the platform that the people of a certain land or territory use to define their existence, to build their nationhood. We are a political people, a revolutionary people. We believe in national politics as a solution in having nationalism and having a politics to protect our sovereignty, to have an ideology that appeals to the masses of our people, but we know that we will only really pierce the armor of the warrior class, right? And you will call into this show like you do every night, and we will sharpen each other's swords as you should be in a time of escalation and warfare. What would you rather be? Would you rather be a cotton-picking nigga, or would you rather be a freedom fighter? It's time to get on the front line. It's time to stop making excuses for what is happening. We must take action. It's time to fight with the warriors and war with the warriors and build with those who are building the infrastructure for a Black nation. Some of you are already building. Some of you already have community programs. Some of us are already doing the things necessary in our communities. We have this platform here, the new Black Panther Party, where we are humbly inviting those who want to bring their natural African talents to the table. It's time to get on the front line. Let us give you the proper political education. Let us sharpen your sword. You sharpen ours. We also can help with the finding and discovering the knowledge of self like we do every night here on this broadcast, the militant strategies of warfare that are necessary as we live in an escalated war. It is an open war on Black people, and it is ethnic cleansing and genocide. And it is all coming from these American police states. We look at the crimes committed against Black people in this nation. We find ourselves time and time again on every state-sponsored news station, every controlled white media press station, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, all the alphabet, all of them, they run stories of Black men and Black women being shot, killed, murdered by pigs. That is the American police state. The police come from the origin or an origin, as explained by our great ancestor tonight here on this broadcast. In our introduction, Dr. Khaled talked about how the police come from the origin of the Ku Klux Klan. When Black men and Black women were tired of being whipped, murdered, raped, and thrown to the damn savage, beastly overseers on the plantations during chattel slavery, they got into their right minds and they escaped. They attempted to escape the plantations. Well, when they attempted to escape the plantations, family, the white man, the American colonial devil, he would send the paddy rollers. He would send the night riders. He would send what would become the Ku Klux Klan. After black men and black women and their children who attempted to escape, they would come riding in on horses. Yes, sometimes they were white, but sometimes the horse was brown, or sometimes the horse was black. It don't matter what damn color the horse was. We're telling you that the pig, the police, the secret fraternal order of police in the United States of America comes from an origin of the night riders, the paddy rollers, who would become the Ku Klux Klan after chattel slavery. Because it is after chattel slavery that you see the Ku Klux Klan come into economic districts of America, not just Tulsa, Oklahoma, New Orleans, Louisiana, Harlem, New York, Atlanta, Georgia, Sacramento and Oakland, California, all over the hell of North America, they would come rolling in. They would come and burn down the economic districts. They would come in with the support many times of the National Guard and drop barrel bombs on economic districts in America. These groups will begin to now then unionize during the destroying of black economic districts. After chattel slavery, these groups, these white vigilante groups will begin to unionize. And these white men, some of them was Jew, some of them was Irish, some of them was Catholic, some of them was Christian. But they put their differences aside with the common purpose to keep black women and black men from succeeding on an economic level and on a human right level by coming into the community dressed in white hoods, coming in, burning down, and like I say many times, with the assistance of state sponsored military assistance. This is the origin. They began to unionize after chattel slavery during the so-called Reconstruction. They began to unionize. They began to become a family-owned political paramilitaries. They are aligned with the general military response of the white man, which is to attack. It is to seek dog. It is to snipe. It is to drag, lynch, burn, quarter. It is to do whatever is necessary, violence notwithstanding, to kill in a political ideology to keep fear on the plantation. This is the definition of terrorism. The police in America, the pig, are terrorists. Anybody who uses violence, anybody who uses brutality to get a political objective across of a deep demonic democracy, of a hypocritic democracy, and they use brutality. It is not just the Constitution. It is not just laws. It is M16 and now with COVID-19. They use whatever in their arsenal to push the ideology of white supremacy. This is terrorism. And the constant suspects, the usual suspects, is the goddamn pig. Y'all know we not lying. Every year, all the time. Then we see what they do. Not only do they murder and maraud our black people in our communities, but they also purposely, through their different devices of counterintelligence, use counterintelligence operations to attack those who are organizing for our freedom and liberation. This is the American police state. Kwame Ture talked about it, our great ancestor. He gave a lecture and he talked about the FBI and the CIA. We'll play that lecture in just a little bit. We want to hear from the people. This is the people's broadcast. Press the number one. God damn it, we're talking about the American police state who have right now are using counterintelligence tactics to overtly and covertly constantly attack the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. And in this formation, not only have we faced the counterintelligence of the government, which we have no problem saying or dealing with openly in the midst of this warfare, because we recognize their vile, wicked their subversive tactics, sabotage, blackmail, counter-surveilling, surveilling, patrolling, harassing. They will even go into your household or come into your household or get somebody from your household to do you wrong, trying to get them to be fearful of you because you say you are a nationalist and you are a militant. This is what the AmeriClan police state do. Not only do they murder and maraud our community, but they also survey, harass, patrol, target black people, black men and black women who don't want to be niggas. There is an open war on a freedom fighter. It is an escalation of the same war that was launched against Marcus Garvey by the FBI. And before the FBI, it was the cracker Willie Lynch in 1712 in the West Bank on the former colony of Virginia who gave the goddamn address. That morphed into your counterintelligence. Now they call it black identity extremists, telling us that we're extreme because we believe that we are black. Let the charges stand. Let the cases be observed. Put two of them together, and what you will find is that white America has continued to murder black people and target the liberator, target the freedom fighter. Why are they so afraid of the freedom fighter? Why are they trying to destroy the name and legacy of Brother Ozone? Why have they launched this vicious attack against a brother who we know nothing of but being a good man, a working man, a young man, a family man, a spiritual man, going through his journey of trying to gain the respect in the hearts and minds of our people? Well, what does every military do when they go into a nation? Some of you can attest to this. When they send the Marines into a nation, they send them in with food. They send them in with water. What are you talking about? We need to have community programs. We need to respond to the crimes of injustice. And that is what Brother Ozone has been targeted for. He has not been targeted because he is a criminal or he committed a crime. Our stance on the initial human rights violation committed by the Daytona Beach Pig Department on the 23-second edited revised footage that was released on the situation, the accusatory statements made against Brother Ozone, who they are calling Brother Otha Wallace, that is his name, but we call him Comrade Ozone because he defined himself, and we call him that because that's what he want to be called. And we believe that a man who is fighting for the freedom and liberation of his people deserves the respect to rename himself and rename herself. That is one of the first stages of evolving. Rename yourself. Nonetheless, a brother who is a family man, a brother who was on the ground and called for others to come on the ground. When they lynched Brother Stephen Stiles in Douglasville, Georgia, you know, and people came and we went and we seen the courage of the brother. We seen the brother go toe-to-toe, you know, with these damn devils to get answers for this. We have to love those that walk amongst us today. Young brother, young sisters and brothers out here really trying. God damn it, in this damn wicked beast, this pig comes and violates us. And that is what we are seeing, but we are seeing a deliberate targeting of the brother because he has openly made it known that he is a freedom fighter. This has happened time and time again. We have taken a bold stance on this. We believe we don't give a damn if it's the unpopular or popular stance. We're taking a righteous stance. No black people, especially none of us, have the right or not have the right, but should not be judged by the goddamn white man. Who is he to judge anybody? We are talking about a mass murderer, a global serial killer. He have no right to judge anybody. Or he shouldn't even get in the conversation when we're talking about crime. He invented the damn crime. The crime is murder. The charge is genocide. These pigs murder our people wholesale. And then they target the freedom fighter. We got to look at it. We have to support those who are willing to make the sacrifices to stand for us. Let us take time to look at the current events that are unfolding in the liberation movement. Look at the clear attempts currently, right now in the state-sponsored propaganda, to turn the narrative on nationalism, to turn the narrative on the new Black Panther Party. Understand, this is open war. You better take yourself seriously. This cracker is vicious. And we're saying that in no way, shape, or form should it bring any fear into the hearts and minds of the warrior class. We understand the hesitancy of the masses of our people, but that doesn't make us feel like we should have sympathy or love the people back to sleep. We're being very clear. It is our response to the conditions that have been put on us by the psychological warfare and the American police state. It is the origin of the pig, and it is all of this that goes into how we need to take action today. Let it be the example of the many demonstrations, of the many situations that we have seen where Black people have taken the street. And we have been there, and y'all seen this. Let it be a demonstration of those who walk amongst us today, who are freedom fighters, bone in, bone out. Hell, we may not always agree, but one thing that we do agree in the warrior class is we want to be free, and we love our people. Sometimes we love our people more than the people love themselves. It is the truth. It is our dying love for the people that pushes us and drives us and leads us to instill into the masses of our people the necessity of us to support those who fight amongst us today. You can support the new Black Panther Party. You can support Brother Ozone's, you know, legal funds, because the brothers don't need money, because the white man is laid a heavy charge and spawned a terrible web of lies. And we have exposed those lies. They ran counterintelligence operations on us, and that has inspired counter-revolutionary activity. We're saying support our brothers. Speak out about it. Let people know this is not right. You can support them. Go to justice4ozone.com. justice4ozone.com. Support them, right? There's another link, westandwithozone.com. westandwithozone.com. Family, what we're seeing happening to the brother, what we're seeing that's been happening to the freedom fighter in general, right? Here in the new Black Panther Party, we're seeing a escalation. It's not new. It is an escalation of targeting. We must move wise. We must build and build. If we say something, we must follow through. We want to present a piece by Kwame Ture. We talked about the wicked things that the FBI were doing to him and Dr. King during the time that they were fighting for liberation for their time. And we want to play this. We actually have been trying for a while to get this piece on here, but of course, you're going to have interruptions when you're bringing powerful information. Then we'll come back to this broadcast. You want to hear from the people. You locked in here on New Black Panther Party Radio, live here right now. Visit our national website, mbpp.org. Send a donation to the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. You can do it through Cash App, $BlackPowerDollar. Stay locked in. Take notes. We're about to drop some powerful information. Our great ancestor, Kwame Ture, you may know him as Stokely Carmichael, and we are going to hear him talk about the things that the FBI and the pigs were doing to him and Dr. King when they was in the battlefield. Let this historical information help us fight what's going on today. New Black Panther Party Radio. We'll be right back, family. Black Power. Well, hold on, family. Not yet. We ain't going nowhere. We do want to say this while I work on clip. We do want to say this, you know, this, what we deal with in this nation with these pigs, you know, we cannot teach the people, or we cannot teach the children, as we discussed when Sister Shahrazad Ali was on. You know, we cannot teach the people, we definitely cannot teach the children, that these pigs mean us any good. I mean, they have been the constant committers of murder, the constant murderers. You know, they will do a lot of things. They will have concessions. The white man likes to give concessions. And I don't want to skip over at the end of the introduction in this broadcast. We heard the brother, Professor Kempra, talking about how the president of Haiti you know, was assassinated. And he talked about how there were three other nations that had presidents who went against the COVID inoculation, and they found themselves, you know, assassinated, right? So I do want to address that here tonight. We have covered it before, but there were actually four nations, and there were different African presidents who were assassinated, and there is a theory that they were assassinated due to their outspoken, you know, narrative to, against the COVID inoculation. I don't want to skip over that because that was in our introduction. But I do want to drop this, I do want to drop this Kwame Ture. He's talking about giving a historical perspective of what the FBI was doing to him and Dr. King, and then we'll come back to this broadcast. Press the number one. We want to hear from the people about this psychological warfare in the American police state. Look, you live on the broadcast where you can drop it like how you want to drop it. This is our broadcast, and we are the people's broadcast. Press the number one. We're going in tonight. Let's hear from our great ancestor, Kwame Ture, Black Power.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and you, well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourself. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I saw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under our chain banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common need. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
Shout out to black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We tired of that, corporations hiring blacks. Denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now, many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
Your average black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Black power.
We don't have to be ashamed of it. We have stayed here and we begged the president. We begged the federal government. That's all we've been doing, begging, begging. It's time we stand up and take over. Take over. We have to do what every group in this country did. We got to take over the communities where we outnumber people so we can have decent jobs. So we can have decent.
Thank you. We bid you good afternoon. The topic which we have is one which has just been given to me, but it is one in which I've been involved with all my life. And I thought that with this topic, we could just begin to show and to demonstrate how, in fact, as a political activist and of course, this history could be shared for most political activists. How, in fact, I came to, unlike most people in America, begin to see the police apparatus in this country for what it is. Of course, like most people in the United States of America, in my early life, I thought the FBI were these good guys who went around and helped everybody. And I thought that they were supposed to be the guys who supported peace and all this nonsense. As a young man at Howard University, I went to work in the South with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in Mississippi. And here I thought the legal basis for this work was clear. In fact, all we were trying to do as young students was to get our people the right to vote. Of course, while I may have been a little bit confused about the FBI, I was not certainly... Which one is it? Is it this one? While I certainly was aware of the racist and terroristic nature of the United States of America in relationship to Africans, I certainly had not understood the role of the FBI as an organized force of terrorism against my people. This realization would dawn on me through hard and serious struggle. We said the legal basis for our work in the South was clear, according to the American Constitution, toilet paper. Here it was stated that every man, every woman had the right to vote. Of course, I know the history of my people in this country. I know that my people have never arrived at any position in this country, not even individual positions, without the shedding of blood in mass struggle. This point must be properly understood. It's only when understanding these points that you can come to see properly the real racist and terroristic nature of the FBI and the CIA. I say I know this, and this is clear, all of us knowing here. No one sitting in this room can deny any of the following statements I make. One, for Africans to sit in a lousy 5- and 10-cent store where they want to be, they have to shed their blood. For Africans to ride on a bus, even though they pay the same amount of money as anybody else does, in order for them to sit where they want to sit, they have to shed their blood. For Africans to live anywhere in this country where they want to live, even if they have the economic capability of doing so, they have to shed their blood. For African students to attend universities just like any other student in this country, their people must shed their blood. In order for us to get the vote, which everybody gets just like that, even the immigrant who can't even speak English coming here, we Africans, in order to get the vote, we must shed our blood. No one sitting in this audience can show me any example of advancement by the African masses in this country, even individual positions of advancement, which have not been acquired at the price of the shedding of the blood of the masses of our people. Consequently, I was aware of this. I wasn't confused. Of course, the job of capitalism, but it lies all the time, not some of the time. Some people get confused. They think it lies some of the time. It lies all the time. Even when it tells the truth, it's a result of a double lie. It lies all the time. So if you're not careful, they will let you think that Africans make progress like everybody else, and the way they write up the history is he was the first doctor in this area, the first student of this university, the first this, and it makes it appear as if this individual who's the first doctor or the first student really worked hard and was special, unlike the rest of the masses of people, and that these qualifications were so much that they had to be granted the position. More lies. No African in this country has arrived at any individual position without the shedding of the blood of the masses of our people. Anytime you see a mayor anywhere in this country, you must know that that mayor arrived at that position only through the shedding of the blood of his people. Anytime you see a student at the University of Delaware, an African student, you must know that student occupies a seat only because of the shedding of the blood of the masses of the people. Of course, the logical conclusion must be clear. Since the people shed the blood for these positions do not belong to the individuals who occupy them. These positions belong only to the masses of the people. The political conclusions must also be clear. Anytime you use this position, which has been gained by the blood of the people, not for the people, but for yourself, for your own individual interest, you have already betrayed the blood of the people. This must be properly understood. Once again, this confusion arises because American capitalism tries to confuse us. You know, they will tell you that, oh, you want to hear Kwame Ture? Oh, that man, he was crazy in the 60s. He's crazier in the 90s. Nothing wrong with that. Malcolm says extreme conditions must have extreme solutions. And we are in certainly extreme conditions. They will tell you that that man, Kwame Ture, he's just uncompromising when he speaks. Everything is either white or black, hot or cold, wet or dry, that there is no middle ground, there is no gray area when he speaks. We are absolutely correct. I am a revolutionary and I speak of principles for which I am willing any time at the drop of a hat to shed my blood. And I will never compromise those principles to live, not me. Consequently, when I speak as a revolutionary, I speak of principles. And when one speaks of principles, there is no middle ground. There is no gray area. Everything is hot or cold, wet or dry, black or white. There is no gray area, although some will try to create a gray area or a middle ground where it does not exist. Your students, show me the middle ground on a test. Either you cheat or you do not cheat. Where's the middle ground? You are human beings. Tell me. When you recount a story, either you lie or you tell the truth. Where is the middle ground? You are human beings. You live in a world where people have religious beliefs. Either you believe in God or you do not. Where is the middle ground? And some might say, we'll try to make middle ground. The other day, a sister told me, well, I doubt God, but I still believe in him. Once you start doubting God, you have stopped believing in him. There is no middle ground where principles are concerned. This must be properly understood. Especially for you as those who come to want to make a contribution to humanity, and especially to your people who are a part of suffering humanity. It must be clear here then that if your people are oppressed, either you are for the people or you are against the people. There is no middle ground. This must be properly understood. We see everywhere the capitalist system will try to give you illogical reasoning to make you make middle ground. The other day when speaking to a brother, I said, my brother, our people are oppressed. Yeah, Brother Kwame, you're right. I said, our brother, our people are suffering everywhere. I know you're right. Brother, the government pushing drugs in our people, trying to confuse our youth to stop their rising militancy. I know you're right, brother. He's trying to cause all cause of confusion. The police themselves are arming youth in our communities to bring gang wars, to carry out their drug wars for them. I said, I know you're right, Brother Kwame. I said, brother, you have to come and help the people. He said, well, I can't help them right now. I said, really? He said, but Brother Kwame, I'm not against the people. I said, you're not. He said, I don't do nothing against them. I'm not working for the FBI. You know, sure, I ain't helping them, but I ain't against them. I said, you're against them. If your people are oppressed and you are not involved in the struggle to liberate your people, by your very act of inaction, you are against your people. This point must be properly underscored. If your mother is being raped and you have the ability to stop the rape and you put your hands behind your back and say, I ain't in this, you're against your mother. If your people are being exploited and you refuse to lift a finger to help exploit your people, you are against your people and you've actively joined the side of the enemy. When we speak of principles here, we say there is no gray area and the choice is clear. That is to say, if any of you sitting here who are Africans have never done anything for your people, you've been against your people. Let that be properly understood. Clearly, the contradictory logical statement is correct. Only we will free us, true or false.
True.
And if we do not work to free us, who will work to free us? The enemy? Consequently, the points must be properly understood. I said in my early days in Mississippi, I went there thinking that we stood on legal grounds. Now, I must tell you one thing. I was not confused. The confusion and the contradiction which existed between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, I was always on the side of Malcolm X. If you would trace quickly the history, now I know one thing, I know when I say things that you should know, I know you don't know because I know you love King, but you don't study King, but just like you love your people, you don't study them, but you love King anyway. Anyway, Martin Luther King had a feeling in the very beginning of his struggles that the federal government was on the side of the poor African masses. And furthermore, he insisted that our job was just to bring out the racism in the South. And once the federal government saw how racist the attitude was, they themselves would come and solve the problem. Malcolm X used to say, the federal government is your biggest enemy. He said the federal government can send troops to Korea to fight for democracy and have racist pigs in Georgia lynch you and do nothing about it. Malcolm X was clear. Martin Luther King himself came to the same position that Malcolm X did. If you would look at the end of his campaign, the Poor People's Campaign was directed against the federal government. Consequently, one of the great things about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X was the ability to grow and to learn from their errors and to publicly demonstrate this growth and this correction of errors before the masses of our people. So from the very beginning, I knew the federal government was never on my side. I knew they could not be on my side. I was not confused, nor was I confused about the Democratic Party, which had at the same time in it a Kennedy and an Eastland. I knew that Kennedy would not sacrifice Eastland for me. And I never thought that could be possible. Consequently, for me, Kennedy was just like Eastland, another racist pig talking sweet honey. So there was no confusion here. But at least I thought somehow I couldn't have assumed that the FBI themselves would be involved, but as we got more and more into work, we were told, and I certainly as a sneak thief secretary had many problems with this, that every time there's an incident of burning or shooting or looting or killing or terrorism, that the FBI should be called in the local area of the South. I'll give you clear examples. As a young man, I can say that I cut my teeth in organizing in Greenwood, Mississippi. Greenwood, Mississippi is a Delta state, Delta town, and as racist as you can get. Full of Ku Klux Klan, white citizens, FBI, police, all of them just shooting us for fun. I was told by the SNCC representatives, by my SNCC superiors, that whenever there was an incident, you should go to Greenwood, Mississippi, go to the FBI and make them come and make reports. When I would go into the city hall in Greenwood to get the FBI, I would find them in the office of the police chief just chewing tobacco and swapping jokes about us. This FBI agent would now be forced to leave there, come with me, and go make up a report, and all he would do would make up a report. Of course, I never trusted the FBI. I just thought that they would do their job. But in the early days, the FBI made it clear to us. I'll give you one clear example, historical. In the southern part of the state of Mississippi, there was an African there by the name of Herbert Lee, a strong man, a determined man, a man full of consciousness, who recognized that rather than be a slave, he would fight to be free. And Mr. Lee had contacted us and told us to come. He wanted to do some work in the South in the movement there. One of our SNCC superiors, on error, contacted the FBI and told them, well, there's this man, Mr. Herbert Lee, down there. We want to do some work with it. And the FBI gave his name to the local police chief, and Mr. Lee was assassinated within 48 hours. After that, nobody in SNCC looked at the FBI for anything except a chance to shoot these pigs down. We said the FBI gave the information, but the SNCC superiors kept insisting that we call the FBI. Once, when an incident arose where there was some burning of a house and some brutal terrorism, normal life in Mississippi for Africans, the SNCC people called me and said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to get me some guns, organize our people, and we're going for blood. Said, oh, well, before you do that, you need to get the FBI. The FBI for what? Well, we need to get these for what? Well, we know they don't do anything, but we need to get these reports because we're going to sue the FBI for not doing their work, and these reports will help us. Well, I'm an organizer, and I'm a disciplined organizer. I've understood all my life, because all my life I have been in organization, all my life, so I have organizational discipline. Something that the overwhelming majority of the masses of my people lack. They simply lack organizational discipline because they've never belonged to any organization. course, organizational discipline is necessary. Its first necessity is to inform the individual that there's something more important than he or she, the organization and the principles for which it stands. This is necessary in a country like America, where all aspects of individuality is blown completely out of proportion. Where an African will even tell you, work for my people, what do they do for me? They ain't never did nothing for me. Do they pay my bills? I'm out here for me and me alone. Don't nobody help me and I don't need them. America's a backward country. Not only does it make you stupid, it makes you arrogant in your stupidity. Here it is screaming, oh, this is backward. All of us sitting here knows that an individual human being isolated from the human species is totally incapable of making any contribution to life. These are biological facts. If you take a kitten the minute it's born before it opens its eyes, you take a dog, a puppy before it's born, before it opens its eyes when it's born, if you throw both of them in the woods isolated by themselves, they will grow to their fullest animal potential. The dog will walk on all four, he will bark, as soon as he finds a bone, he will love it. The cat will meow, and the cat will chase mice as soon as he finds them. But if you take a child, a human being, the minute he or she is born, without opening their eyes, and put them in their woods, isolated by themselves, if they live, they will never arrive at their fullest human potential. It is questioned whether or not the child will walk. Certainly the child will not talk. And it is clear the child will be able to make no contribution to the society. We push the argument one point further, again sticking clearly within the clay of the logics of the statement. We continue to say that a human being isolated from the human species is more stupid than any other animal isolated from its species. Take the same kitten, take the same puppy, take the same child, as soon as they're born, without their eyes open, throw them to live with monkeys. The dog will walk like a dog, bark like a dog, and love bones. The cat will meow like a cat, walk like a cat, and love mice. The child will walk like a monkey, talk like a monkey, eat monkey food, and try to make a contribution to monkey culture. The statement then is clear, crystal clear. So that we can smash quickly all of these nonsensical ideas of individuality. The individual is dependent upon the masses of the people for everything. Consequently, the individual must subsume themselves to the desires, the struggles, and the aspirations of the masses of the people. This is clear. For the Africans, it is even more clear. We say without the slightest hesitation, any African who rises above the masses of his people have only done so by stepping upon their heads. As a matter of fact, any man trying to pull himself up above the people is a stupid man. It's only when the people rise that you can rise. We state all these things for you to see precisely the concept in which we're working. We're talking about these pigs, the FBI. Martin Luther King had a great deal of trust in the FBI. I remember having great discussions with Dr. King about the FBI. Dr. King, they're punks, chumps. No, you know, they're constrained here by jobs, Kwani, and they really do their best. And while it's sometimes hard, we can be sure that in the final analysis, their reports will have an effect. Dr. King had great faith in them. Did you know the FBI was tapping Dr. King's phone? I knew they were tapping mine. That's understood. I've never hid my hatred for them nor my contempt. Nor my desire to destroy them. Not in all my life. Not now. As a matter of fact, the older I am, the more determined I become to destroy these pigs. Consequently, that they should try to destroy me is only automatic. Indeed, the great son of Africa, Ahmed Sekou Touré, says, if the enemy is not doing anything against you, you are not doing anything. Right. Of course. Brother, if the FBI ain't doing something against me, what am I doing wrong? You understand? If the enemy is not haunting me, there's something wrong. Because I'm hunting the enemy. I'm hunting him to kill him because he's messing with my people. You mess with my people, I kill you. Just as quick as that, without even blinking an eye. Matter of fact, I kill you before God get the news. No question about it. No question about it. So that I understood the FBI should even stick itself. I understood the FBI would follow us. Our policies would cry more revolutionary than Martin Luther King. But would you think that they would tap the phones of Martin Luther King? What is surprising Not too long ago, I speak to a young brother.
He said, hey, man, ain't you afraid they gonna kill you?
What makes you think they're not gonna get you before they get me?
Matter of fact, this has them getting you before they get me. It's more because I'm alert. I know they're trying to get me. You think they ain't bugging your phone, but I ain't doing nothing.
No. The FBI knows that I came out of the same conditions that you live in.
The FBI know I'm no different from you.
So the FBI is not afraid of me because of who I am. They're afraid of me because of who you are. Me by myself, I can't do anything. But us together, why, we can burn 260 cities in America in a weekend.
In a weekend?
Yes. So some people think that the FBI only taps the phones of people who are working for the people. You make a big mistake. I will tell you from my travels throughout the world, from my research throughout the world, that the American people are more followed by their government authorities than any people in the world, starting with those in the old Soviet Union. Matter of fact, just your credit card company knows more about you than a government agency knows about its people in other countries. Yeah, the American people are totally followed. But they think that the FBI only follows those who the FBI deem to be a threat to the status quo. You make a big mistake. A great big mistake. This is a mistake the king made. Not only did these pigs tap king's phone, but hear me well, they even did... Listen, the FBI, such pigs, they will get into your bedroom to cause trouble between you and your wife. You say you love king. Any man in America who tells me they love king must hate the FBI. You can't love God and love the devil at the same time. It's like loving the dollar and loving your people at the same time. I love the people, but I want to make some money. When I make some money, I also help the people. All right. I know the line. I know the line. And as soon as they start making money, they forget about the people. I understand it. It's logical. Because you can't make money and help the people. If you want to help the people, there's no money involved here. The only thing involved here is death, torture, and pain. That's all, Jack. The reward is in the doing. You want money, you can't mess with your people. You want money, you can't mess with the rich of your people. If you want money, you've got to bow down to the laws of capitalism. And the first law is that in order for America to remain rich, Africans must be exploited. That's the first law. So we're not confused here. I've never wanted to make money in my life. Make money. What can I do with it, Jack? Never. No. Which anyone who truly loves King must hate the FBI. You know what the FBI did to King? They used to take tapes where he was in other rooms and take these tapes and send them to his wife so she could listen to them. You know what they used to do to me, these pigs, when I was a young man working in Mississippi? They would call my mother at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell her, we got your son, we're going to kill him, we're going to lynch him. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't even tell me about it. My sister's home. You know they call 3 o'clock? Who? She said, the Ku Klux Klan. I said, it ain't the Ku Klux Klan, it's the FBI. It's the pigs, the FBI. And sure enough, I told my mother, I said, listen, you know, you can cuss nicely. So when they call you 3 o'clock in the morning, you just say some sweet things about J. Edgar Hoover.
Because the capitalist system has cut off our history, they think that we have no history. They really think that our history began in slavery. If you will look at all textbooks in this country, even on the college level, history textbooks, there's nothing said about Africa in these textbooks at all. I mean, Africa is just left out. Like it doesn't exist at all. Just like our history. As most Africans who do not take time as a conscious people to come to understand their history, in fact, begin their history when the white man came and discovered us as slaves. Certainly, the indigenous people of this country think that their history began with Columbus, they would be in serious trouble. They who properly know their history know that the indigenous people of this country raised civilizations, the heights of which European powers have not yet arrived at. Consequently, these people have this to hold on to, and they know as long as they hold on to it and fight, they will come back to the grandeur that was once theirs. No people can begin their history in slavery. No people. God has never created anybody in slavery. All people are first created free, then they are enslaved. So that any African beginning their history in the United States of America is a stupid African beginning their history in slavery. And if you begin your history in slavery, the best you can hope to be is a good slave. Indeed, if you begin your origins in slavery, where's the inspiration to fight? A people who were enslaved must know at one time they were free. It is only when they know at one time they were free that they will be motivated by the responsibility which history imposes upon them to struggle to be free again. Any African wanting to know about their history and using their history as a weapon to fight must begin their history in Africa. There's no other place. It was only in Africa that we were free. Thus, it is in Africa that we must begin our history. Once we see in Africa how we were free, then we will come to see who imposed slavery upon us. We will come to know directly who is the enemy, what must be done to return to a stage of freedom again. Thus, in the struggle for liberation, Africa is indispensable to us as our historical weapon.
Black power, black power. Power, you're back here live with the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We give praise and thanks, and forever praise is due to our great and mighty ancestor, Kwame Ture. You may know him as Stokely Carmichael, as he highlighted the wicked things that the FBI was doing to Dr. King and Kwame Ture. Very powerful, very powerful. We have been working for a while to get that on here, and Blog Talk at many times denies that piece. You know, I don't know if they listened to it beforehand or what these devils do. We were able to get it on tonight. It's very powerful to have that historical aspect. New Black Panther Party Radio, call in right now, 718-664-6398, 718-664-6398. Press the number 1 to go live. We have 30 minutes in this broadcast here on day 505. We have been discussing psychological warfare in the American police state. These goddamn pigs, the same pigs Kwame Ture was talking about. We say, join the new Black Panther Party. God damn it, most of us right now know that deep down, we know this shit ain't right. It's not right to live in this nation of constant murder and oppression, right? And then to have these coon-ass Negroes that they put out in front, you know, and they have a class struggle that's you know, it's more noticeable than ever. Look at the things that they are saying. Look at the, you know, the American police state is going to bat the vaccine inoculation plan. Better believe it. It will be the National Guard in the American police state as it has always been. If they want to force what they are already using wicked tactics to convince people to do. There's a hospital in Los Angeles. These devils is offering people money to come and take the damn vaccine. They are offering people crawfish in some places in Louisiana. Hell, apple juice and orange juice and donuts and beers and all this foolishness to take a vaccine shot. We got to ask ourselves a question. Seriously, family. Why are they doing all of this for this vaccine? But the goddamn white man created another damn device of ethnic cleansing and genocide. That's why. And they're trying to inoculate as many people as they can. It's ethnic cleansing. It's ethnic cleansing. It's biological warfare. That's what it is. We got to be honest about this. We have played Dr. Alim on this show, and he talked about the fact that this vaccine produces a mutation of the virus, also produces a S protein or a spike protein that does the same thing, if not worse, than the coronavirus germ did. What's wrong with us? Why would we let somebody stick something in us anyway, not knowing or knowing what's in it? You know, it shows how we talked about last night. Of course, it's the psychological warfare and propaganda. But the shows we talked about last night, the nigger syndrome, the Willie Lynch syndrome, post-traumatic slave syndrome, which causes us to act outside of our natural self. No people who truly believe and are willing to back it through action that we are the original people of the earth is ever going to let some damn 6,000-year-old just got here beast and stick them with no damn toxic. So the frequency must be raised, is being raised. Not only is the vaccine causing mutations and, You know, but it's even been reports of them pulling folks' eyeballs out their head. Been reports of people's limbs growing 5 times the size of the natural, where we're usually one. Right? Reports of people not being allowed to get on airplanes in Russia, or and I believe Spain, if they have taken the vaccine, AstraZeneca vaccine, right? How does that tie into the American police state? Because it is the American police state that will be the ones, because first it was to make a lie that black folks was more susceptible to COVID because we just, you know, we just all fucked up. You know, that's how they made it seem. Listen, we got to talk straight down to the right down to it. Let's be real. Really, we need to talk straight up, not straight down, straight up. Don't y'all act like this is something you have never heard or you don't talk this way. Now, this is just, we're having family talk right now. Now, these goddamn devils. First, they said, oh, black folks is more susceptible to COVID-19, right? Then they said that black folks need to be the first ones out to get it. We're going to make sure you black folks get it, right? And now it's killing folks. Do we see what the op was? They used psychological warfare. So they went through the lie. They're now trying to pay people in donuts and money and crawfish. Listen to this. You couldn't imagine a nation in any other sense of us not being behind enemy lines. You would laugh. I mean, you read about it. I seen it in a movie. You said, wow, look at this shit. They paying people in crawfish, Pepsi. We see it all. Shrimp, beer, donuts, free coffee. Paying people in gas cars. What comes next? Just let's take a political analyzation. What comes next? Forcing. Dr. Aline talked about how the damn bananas, they done vaccinated the damn bananas. They vaccinating the fruit. I mean, look at this. This is the right. This is why we have constantly and always said we should be growing our own food. We need to do the things that are necessary to boost our immune system. I mean, come on, family. Come on. Come on. What you think about all this? You know. Brother, big knowledge. Out of Baton Rouge, you just text me, brother. I seen you just pressing number one. He just reminded me of one I forgot. They had one called Joints for Jabs, where they were giving people joints, to take a jab of COVID-19 vaccine. And again, as we say, this inoculation is going to be back. It's moving into a forcing stage, and we have to be prepared for that. We have to be wise. We must have the things that are necessary to arm ourselves, to defend ourselves from anybody who comes and tries to do any harm to us. That is not violent. There's nothing violent about that. That is common sense. We need to be growing our own food. Okay, if that makes us separatists, so be it. You know, we need to be having our own water sources, building economic infrastructure. These are the things to make us sovereign. What do you think about all this, Brother Big Knowledge? Black power.
Black power, Brother Black power. Yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into what's real and what ain't. We need to grow our own food, but guess what? We started our own food. We taught those gross, nasty, wicked, cannibalistic, no bath taken, only for a year smelling, dog-looking Europeans how to damn do everything that they know today. We taught them. You understand what I'm saying? We taught them about the Amazon, the Nile. We taught them how to irrigate, how to plant, how to farm. They befriended us. Oh, yeah, we're going to be cool with y'all. We just come over here to help y'all. And then chop, there it is. Here come the slave trade. We taught them. We don't have to learn. It comes natural. It comes natural. It's something inside of us. And we know what's inside of us. The ancestors are inside of us. We taught ourselves how to plant, how to farm, how to mine, how to build, how to do everything we're supposed to do. And we have to get back into that. Every day I'm seeing another young brother, another young sister. I'm seeing other farmers coming together to buy more land because they realize that this processed food, that the AmeriClan, that's what it is, not some good old white folks, the AmeriClan, because they all in cahoots, they all know each other, plotted against the brown people that were here and the black folks that were here, the Africans that were here, to take all their natural resources and use it against us because they wanted what? They wanted world domination. And they are still doing it today. They see how many black folks are coming up. They see the numbers rising. That's why they want to do a census. That's why they want to see how many black folks are here so they can knock us off. That's why they came up with this vaccine and say, oh, black folks need to do it first. Hold on, why? Why you can't do it first? You the best. You want to get unsick first? Why don't you damn take it? We can do everything ourselves. Give us our separate states or just let us leave. Get a bunch of boats like Marcus Garvey did. Let us go in any other country where it welcomes us with open arms. 40 million black folks. Guess what? This country will crumble, and it is. They want to see people go to work. Guess what? Black folks are opening up their own businesses. They taking their money. They making T-shirts and beans. They selling sea moss. They helping out their families. They starting their own little school, little kinder care businesses to take care of their own black people, because they see they gonna try to make the babies and the kids take the vaccine and everything. They not going for that shit, and we ain't going for that shit no more. We are tired, but guess what? We are strong. Like Sister Amina say, we are survivors. We have always survived through the trenches, through the hell they have put us through. We are the best of the best, and they know it. How in the hell can you put somebody through the mud and still come out as a beautiful tree and flower? Put us in the dirt, but they didn't realize we were seeds. They did not. They didn't mess up. Oh, they done messed up real bad. You should have left us alone. Now it's about to be a revolution. We told y'all, let us be free. Kwame, if you listen to anything about Kwame Ture, he done told you. Let us be free. It's going to be bloodshed around here. But they are sitting up here and plotting behind closed doors with their warmongering asses, with their suits on, playing with little boys behind closed doors and all that shit, plotting against us. You can sit up there and befriend them if you want to. Go ahead. You're going to see what's going to happen. When the shit starts, guess what? You're going to be the first one they knock off. Be behind your people. The masses of the people are always going to win. They're always going to take over. That's what a revolution does. The people always win. But I'm here to tell you about this damn vaccine. They are making these college students take it. These college students, a young girl right now, she goes to Xavier University. They said if you do not take the vaccine, you cannot receive your room and board. They are kicking these students out. There are lawsuits going against these colleges right now. This girl literally cries every other night because she doesn't want to drive back and forth 60 miles to go to school because she don't want to take the vaccine. She don't trust it. She ain't number 21. She woke. She know what's going on. She said, I'm not taking that shit no matter what. She got her dad and her friend as a lawyer putting a lawsuit against a school because you can't make nobody take nothing experimental. Not to mention what her father went through in Desert Storm. He has adverse effects and has had strokes sent to the hospital from the inoculation they have made him take while he was in Desert Storm from taking the vaccine. One of my partners that I just met last year, he said when he took the anthrax vaccine, he was sick for 2 weeks straight, had flu-like symptoms in Afghanistan. And he had to take the shot 3 or 4 more times that year. And he said they had a scab on his arm about the size of about 2 inches wide. And when that scab fell off, this was an anthrax shot now, they had to put it in a baggie and put it in the same place they put syringes when they take your blood at the hospital, in a little red bag and a biohazard. That's how bad it is. Ain't nothing good about the shit at all. They are taking away, they are pulling away something, educational scholarship that these kids earned in high school just to take the vaccine. They're going to the extreme. They're not only giving you money, they're trying to take shit away from these kids just to take the vaccine. They're trying to inoculate the kids. You understand what I'm saying? The 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, the ones that haven't had kids yet, the ones that their immune system are the highest. You understand what I'm saying? They are doing this on purpose. This is a plot to slow down the birth rate of black and brown people in this country on this earth because they got some stupid-ass ideology that it's too many people. No, it's too many wicked-ass white folks out here. That's what it is. That's who need to be gone. That's how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to pull these people to take away their housing so they can go to school, get their education, so they can use it for their people. So they can, you know what I'm saying, get an old regular job. Let them get their regular job. Let them say they don't want to take it. Don't make them. You can't do that. That is illegal. That is evil. That is diabolical. You don't do that to people. You understand what I'm saying? That is wicked. That is 100% wicked. And I told a friend of mine last week, I said, when you sign that paper, she said, oh, I took the vaccine. I said, okay, when you sign that paper, what did it say? It said you cannot sue this company when you take the vaccine because it is experimental, but it's still trying to make you take it. Experimental? I ain't doing nothing experimental. You understand what I'm saying? I went to the military. That was enough. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't took a flu shot since I got out the military, and I've been just fine. Been just damn fine because I learned about my body. I learned what to eat, how to eat, how to stay away from all these processed foods, what to stay away from. Learn how to look on back of those boxes and see what it is. Look on back of your kids' cereal boxes and see what's in it. Go look up those. Just take one box for a entire week. Screenshot it. Go look up them. Go look up those chemicals. They ain't supposed to be in your damn body. Put something in your body. You don't even know what it is. Some damn white liquid. No, I'm good. I'd rather put alkaline. I'd rather listen to Dr. Sebi. I'd rather listen to Dr. Ali Muhammad. I'd rather put the interferon in. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather put fresh crops in every day. You know what I'm saying? That will keep you alive. What God put in the earth, because we are of the earth, will heal you. It will fix everything in your body, your mind, your body, and your soul. Do not take this vaccine. Do not let them manipulate you, black people, because they have. They keep pushing it. They keep pushing it. Juvenile, the rapper, made a song, Back That Ass Up, in 99, 2000.
Right. They didn't right.
Trick
and
him.
Back that ass up now. Now instead of saying back that ass up, this nigga come off back that ass up. But look at the coonery. Now, mind you, this is somebody.
What?
But I want to let me say this, Brother Larry. This is somebody who, you know, is considered. Well, whatever way you want to look at it, this is a, you know, black celebrity. You know what I'm saying? This is an entertainer, mm-hmm. right? And you remember the prominence of the song, Back That Ass Up. Y'all heard the damn song. Don't be trying to act like you never heard the damn song, like you so holy and you never listened to Back That Ass Up. This Negro have made a remix of it called Vax That Ass Up. I'll tell you what. This is some coon-ass shit.
Oh, man. That's the coonery of all coonery. He the last person I expected when he did that.
I forgot to mention that last night on the episode we did about the coon mentality. I forgot that one.
Man, I ain't never seen nothing like that.
Oh,
and they because white people believe if somebody white stands up for white folks, it's somebody that's way in power, wealthy, can control shit. They always use black folks in entertainment, basketball players, and all this, you understand what I'm saying, to use against us because we big ourselves up when we move that high. You know what I'm saying? So they use him as a coon to do this, and he don't even realize it. That's how he got the key to the city. He got the key to the city a week before.
Oh,
now I see how he got it.
Nigga.
Key to the city. Go ahead. Key to the city. Him. Manny Fresh, Mia X made that song, and he's proud of it, too. He is so proud, but has no idea
about the psychological warfare aspect of it. That's the psychological warfare, because they use him as a conduit. He's being used as a device to spread the message. Let's hold one second, Brother Big Knowledge. We got 10 minutes left. We got a caller calling out of Lafayette, area code 337.
Black Power.
You live here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Black Power 337. Who we got on the line? Black Power 337?
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Linda. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Are you black, Linda?
I sure am.
Okay.
I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. And I want to elaborate on the FBI issue. I would like to back you up on everything that you just someone recently died yesterday behind a COVID shot at my mom's job. So I agree with you. I do believe that that is some type of plot. I haven't taken it, and I'm not going to take it. I went to the FBI recently behind some issues I was having with my devices. Since then, my bank account constantly is being hacked. They keep taking money out of my bank account, off my child support card. I went to the police department, dropped them off all my bank statements. They didn't do nothing. My son was just recently involved in something, but because he's in a white neighborhood, they already got a detective that's assigned to him. I'm not giving you guys any information. You can't do anything to help me because I feel like that's them hacking my account. Because I went to them and I said they didn't want to do their job. Now, my bank account has been hit over 168 times and constantly being hit. I constantly keep changing my bank cards. How are these people getting my banking account information if they're not the ones that's doing it? So I'm like you. Yes, the police. Yes, all of them.
Right. Right. Yeah, Miss Linda, you know, that
and I don't believe
the tactics. Hold on. Are you still there? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, I can hear you. Go ahead. I was telling you, the tactics is they
that.
Use. Yeah, they use a lot of different tactics to try to, you know, scare people who are having issues, who have had to deal with these people through, you know, different situations that we may find our children in or that we may find, you know, ourselves in, you know, and a lot of our people have this mentality because they are of the state that they may, you know, come do some help or. But we urge our people, do not trust, you know, any portion of the American police state. Do not, you know, in any way, you know, because these people are nothing but murderers. So we agree with what you're saying as well.
The only thing, how can I have jailhouse calls? My bank card is new, and I don't even have a bank card associated with any type of jailhouse. Only somebody that can run technology. They have displayed nigger on my devices. You know, but like I'm like you. You don't scare me. You're not gonna break me. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, that's how you gotta be. That's how you gotta be. You know, they're gonna do these tactics and things like that. But now the number one thing that we would say is you must document these things. You must document them. I write them down, have them on video, have physical. But so when you draw up your lawsuit. When you bring it to court, you have physical evidence of this happening, you know, because that's the number one thing we tell people to document. And yes, ma'am, you know, we're going to tell the truth. We're going to tell the truth so you can listen to this broadcast every night at the same time. You know what I'm saying? We got 5 minutes left in the broadcast, but we broadcast for 2 hours here every night. We're going to tell the truth about these ruthless pigs. And you keep strong and don't let nobody make you afraid of anything. And like we say, document. Make sure you document so that you can take them straight to the goddamn court. So.
Well, they do a fine job of blocking calls. They were blocking all my lines of communication. So I wasn't getting any calls on my other phone. But it was a prepaid phone. So now what I did, so I could see everything that's going on, I went back on a contract. I went to my bank Friday. And the lady said, you might want to do the online banking, your mobile app, so you can see all the illegal activities that's going on. Well, I handed over to my local PD, which 2 months now, I haven't heard anything from them. But then you guys are calling me about some white man, something my son told me did. Listen, I don't think so.
Right.
But he has a technical
do you run a YouTube show?
No, I have a channel, but I don't.
It's a channel. It's like a live stream,
right?
Like, is it Linda Evans?
Linda Goodbeer.
One more time.
Linda Goodbeer.
Oh,
like
okay.
Good and beer.
So you do. Oh, okay. So you do a live stream because I remember your voice. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that
that's not me. No, that's not me.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes,
wrong
ma'am.
Person.
You know, but that's the thing. We want to make sure, you know, that we don't want you to give any like very particular details, because although this is our broadcast, this is a public line, we don't want you to really get too deep into anything that happened. You know, we are very, very great. We appreciate your call, Ms. Linda, and you know, we can say at this point, you know, to document. You know what I'm saying? Document and make sure that, you know, you have physical proof, and take these damn pigs to the court. Take these pigs in front of the law that they so, you know, boldly profess that they have, that they stand up for. You know what I'm saying? And like I say, you can listen to this broadcast every single night, New Black Panther Party Radio. And for everybody that's called into this broadcast tonight, everybody that's listening from all over the world, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For those of you that are having issues dealing with these damn devils and these pigs, we urge you to document. Do not trust the American police state. Look at what they are doing to the people. Look at how they target the revolutionary. We say it every day, and we must work at this point to teach our children about the revolutionaries, to have this generation come up into the ideology of revolution. We say to everybody listening to this broadcast, we thank you very much, and we say to you, Black Power family.
Teach him about Nat Turner. I teach him about Denmark Vesey. I teach him about Gabriel Prosser. I teach him about Toussaint Louverture. I teach him about Henry Christophe. I teach him about Gasoline the Ferocious. I teach him about Will the Executor. I teach him about Bookman. I teach him about Nzinga. I teach him about Kandase. I teach him about Queen Ya Asantewa. I teach him about the warriors and the freedom fighters. God damn it, I'm looking at a whole audience full of Holocaust victims. All of you, you and you and you and you and you, all of you are...
All's my life I had to fight, nigga. All's my life I... Hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in a twilight. With pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster, in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po. Wanna kill us dead in the street for sure.
Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal, I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero, thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico, digging in my pocket. In a profit, big enough to feed you. Every day my logic, get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. Ah!